Hello, this is Down the Back of the Seats. I'm Ellen, cinema manager at Campbelltown Picture House.
And I'm Alistair, a film and theatre maker based on the Isle of Mull.
And Alistair, what is this podcast?
This podcast explores what happens when public spaces and the public meet. What's left behind? What's been found that's unexpected? What stories are there to tell? It's tales from behind the scenes at the cinema, theatre, concert hall, wherever people meet, linger, and leave things. Or bits.
Oh, bits. Okay, cool.
I've found 13 different ways to say bits.
I'm sort of running out of responses to bits because my general response is just, there's been so many bits this week, Alistair. Many bits. It's Barbie. So we're recording this on the 27th of July. And we've had Barbie on since the 24th, and it has been so busy, which is great. I'm not complaining. There's been so many bits. I've got a happy story from this week, although possibly one that's going to get me in trouble with Disney. We have relaxed screenings.
Brilliant.
Anyone can come, and we ask other members of the audience to be more accommodating if people need to move around a bit. It's, you know, it's a fairly...
Shout, scream, throw things, yeah.
No, but it's a fairly common thing that cinemas do, and we do.
It's brilliant. It's so good. It's so welcoming and inclusive. It's brilliant.
Yes. And there was a young lad and his family who came along, and he was quite overwhelmed from the start. He couldn't even get into the screen. So he would sort of stand outside the cinema and then kind of like sort of peep in. And then he'd get overwhelmed and he'd come out again. It was quite a busy... It was...
Screen one or screen two?
It was Elemental that they were watching. And his brother and his sister were watching the film and, that was fine. But it sort of... It was just a shame that he couldn't quite get the confidence to go in there. So we said to them, look, why don't you just try coming back when the cinema's shut? We'll put the film on. We'll prop open the doors. We'll have everything sort of really relaxed so you don't have to worry about anyone else, and just see what, you know, whether he feels more comfortable. So they came back yesterday morning, and we had, you know, the doors were propped open, lights on, volume right down, started the film. His brother and sister went in and watched the film again because they were really excited about it. And about 50 minutes, he was kind of running up and down the corridor. And
it's a good corridor for running.
The corridor is great, and enjoying it. And then he'd sort of go and peep in, and then come out again, and then he'd peep in. It all went quiet, and I couldn't hear him anymore. His mum came out about 10 minutes later and showed me a picture on her phone of him sitting in the front row watching the film, absolutely entranced. And he stayed in for about an hour and a quarter. He came out just before the film finished and was sort of wandering about again, but he sat transfixed for the whole time.
That is phenomenal. That is a community cinema at its very best. That's amazing.
It's a real treat to be able to do that sort of thing. As you say, it's a community cinema, so I can just say, do you know what, come in. I mean, strictly speaking, I shouldn't be putting films on when they're not scheduled, but I think I can be forgiven in this circumstance.
I think Disney, of all the evil corporations in the world, might be less evil about that. Likewise, I had an interesting thing this week. A parent of a young boy that I'd been working with, who's also on the spectrum, and they have issues going outside with confidence and things like that. And I'd introduced them to the application CapCut, which is a fantastic free filmmaking app on phones. And this young person spent a good chunk of the holidays making films on their phone.
Oh, lovely.
And has been going outside making films with it and actually stepping outside in the world and making their world known to other people through the medium of filmmaking. And it just blows my mind, because that's what you want to do. That is what it's about. It's about allowing people to develop their own language, allowing people to find ways to give testimony to their own worlds. And here's a young man with his own world of fantasy based around a specific thing he's interested in. And it was just, I was completely blown away. Firstly, he managed to do it. But secondly, the choices he made were superb. The editing choices were absolutely incredible. There was such intelligence and native understanding of film in it. It was just, it's magic. And it's just one of those things. Sometimes you get lost in your own world and your head's down, your work, and you can't really see what you're doing. And then you get things like that, and you're like, my goodness, it really does work. It's, really, really special.
It does make a difference, genuinely. Watching films and creating films makes a difference to people's lives. I've got another building mystery for you to tell you. Well, I solved it fairly quickly. Went in, was cleaning up after Barbie. Vacuum cleaner on for ages and ages and ages, picking up bits. And then just to turn the vacuum cleaner off. So what the fuck's that?
Mobile phone.
No, it was sounding like it was coming from behind the screen, which is the worst possible place because that's where my speakers are. So went up to the screen, it went behind the screen, really loud noise from behind the screen, but couldn't identify it to one speaker. And right, so at this point, so this is between Barbie screenings, so I've cleaned up Barbie, and then I've got another 150 people coming in for...
Do you not put Barbie in the dishwasher if you're going to clean her up?
Gross. So,
well, actually, do with Lego. It makes Lego really shiny. It's great. Okay. Sorry.
So I knew that I'd got two staff on the counter who were struggling, already starting to struggle.
Numbers.
I needed to get out.
Totally.
But also, I've got a film in a screen where there's a really loud noise coming on, and it's a really busy screen. Went down to the toilet. So the toilets are behind the screen. This is where we're starting to get. And it was a pipe. So one of our pipes was making... It was so loud. I can't believe it. It was making this really, really loud noise, which was reverberating through the wall into screen one. So I did a sort of sequence of turning the water off, flushing the toilet, turning the water back on again, flushing the toilet. And that seemed to clear it. But after this recording, I need to go back in and... See how loud my pipes are.
That sounds like Terry Gilliam's Brazil. That's fantastic.
Old buildings.
Yes. Yes, airlocks are extraordinary things.
Yes. I've got a tweet here from Mark Cousins. I'm assuming you now want to do a Mark Cousins impression.
Mark Cousins? I've just chat. In your mother's handbag? Yes. My friend Kate, her and her friend Penny, they always reference Mark Cousin because Mark Cousins get that fantastic series, The Story of Film. It's about 14 hours long. It's wonderful, absolutely wonderful, but it's all whispered. Like this, really close to the microphone. And the phrase that they spotted that he he does again and again is, she dies. So whenever they say Mark Cousins to each other, they go, she dies. But Georgia and I, when we were watching a good chunk of it, we didn't watch the whole thing, but got the book. noticed, I'd say, I'm Mark Cousins. I've just shat in your mother's handbag. And just again and again, for some reason, just seemed the most unusual thing to say. But yeah, Mark's an incredibly... talented observer and understander of film.
He is. He's wonderful.
And communicator, I do, yeah.
Yes, having just sort of mocked the way that he speaks for a little while, he's brilliant.
he is. He's great. He's good company as well. I've only met him a couple of times, but he's lovely. Smells like patchoulia. No.
Anyway, his tweet was 7,000 screenings of Barbie film in London in the week alone. I will see it and probably like it, but 7,000 in a week in one city is way more than the market needs. Block booking excludes other films. Discuss.
So have you said 7,000 screenings in Campbelltown this week?
Yes, we've had 7,000 screenings in Campbelltown as well. Basically, what chains do when they've got multiple screens, multiplexes do when they've got loads of screens, is they put on the film and it starts, you can look at the schedule, they start every 10 minutes or so because they've got so many screens. Yeah. So basically whenever you walk into that cinema, you can walk straight into a screening of Barbie, which is good if you want to see that particular film, but obviously doesn't do an awful lot for choice. Some of the replies are quite interesting. So someone says, I've heard a lot of independent cinemas complaining that distributors dictate how many screens and showings that they have to undertake to be permitted a blockbuster film, which is true. I don't think I find it as irritating as other people, because I understand it. If you're sending your film to Campbelltown, then you want to know that it's going to be looked after and given the best possible choice. And most cinema managers, or people who do the programming, are sensible. They know their screens. I would like a little bit more flexibility, I think. So we had to push Oppenheimer 2 weeks back, which is fair enough because we couldn't fit it in at the same time. And if we'd have been given complete freedom with our sessions, then we could have fit Oppenheimer in. We could have put it on one screening a day, had Barbie on for 3 screenings a day, Elemental still in the mix.
Well,
so In that respect, it would have been quite nice to have the flexibility to do whatever I wanted with films, because in this particular instance, it would have worked out for us. But if I'd have taken it on date the way it was, I'd have had to push. I'd have had to stop Elemental before it was properly had a fair crack. I would have had to push The Turtles back a couple of weeks, and it's in Scotland. It's still the school holidays.
Is that coming out soon?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm so excited. It looks fantastic.
The animation, I'm so intrigued. I want to see it so much.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
So even if the script and the everything else is rubbish, the animation looks great.
It looks so beautiful.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the consequence of not being given flexibility. Fine. I'm not mad at it. The multiplex thing is, I think, excessive.
There's not many of us people who kind of live in the countryside and run into the city and then run back out like me, but that's sort of thing that's really helpful if you're on a tight time schedule and you know the one you wanted to see previously was all sold out. But it's a bit too much. I mean, when am I going to see that King Crimson documentary that I was desperate to see on the big screen? How am I going to be able to see it, when there's only Barbie showing, which is really...
Yeah.
We'll see it one day.
I mean, and don't get me wrong, I love Barbie. I loved
and
it.
I love King Crimson. Yeah.
So, and you love King Crimson. And sorry, I should mention, Mark Cousins has a film out at the moment. Hitchcock film, My Name is Hitchcock, he's
but isn't his name's Mark Cousins? Sorry.
he's very measured in his other sort of discourse about it. It's Twitter or X, as I think we now have to call it.
Jeebus, twice.
It's not a place for nuance, but Mark Cousins does point out that he's not complaining. And I think there's a sort of undercurrent that it would be nice if my film had maybe one screen per multiplex even.
He is a fine filmmaker in many ways, especially when he kind of pulls himself back from the edge of talking too much in his films. And he's got a lot to say, but film works best when we're shown rather than spoken at. But his film Atomic with the music by Mogwai is really something to see, really really quite special. And then he has another one which again is more talky, but it's called The Story of Children in Film, which is well worth seeing. It's about how childhood is seen in cinema and also grown through cinema, how a lot of our childhood experience is by seeing films, and it's giving voice to other things. And he's got a fantastic film in there, which I just loved, from Senegal, called The Little Girl Who Sold the Sun. And it's about a little girl with crutches in the street in Dakar, I think it is. And she's got her gang and they're selling this newspaper, and there's a scene in there, and it's the one he picks that I would love to replicate in some of my own work because it's so impassioned and brilliant. It's really, yeah. Have you seen that one before at all, Little Girls?
No, I haven't. It sort of rang a bell when you were talking about it, but I don't think I've seen it. I think I've just heard about it, possibly from the Mark Cousins film.
Oh, it's, yeah, really fantastic. But sorry, I think that's a bit of a divergence. I do apologise.
It's all right. Some of the other responses to the tweet bring up some sort of good points. I think somebody says, post-COVID, there's an opportunity for a reset that's being missed by cinemas, where films don't have to be judged by their opening weekend and have the chance to build word of mouth. Which, is, it's a fine point, but as somebody else points out, don't cinemas need all the money they can get at this point?
Yes, please.
And I think that's a very, very good point. We all, certainly independent cinema people, and I'm sure the chains as well, have sort of lofty hope that we can nurture films and bring exciting work to the people. But at this point, post-COVID, when audiences haven't properly returned, if there's something that's going to make me money, I'm going to cram my schedule full of it and try and make it. And I'm sure the chains are the same. Chains are in more trouble than independents at the moment, it would seem.
Yeah.
So an opportunity to reset would be good. He says that it's been missed by cinemas. I don't think it's cinemas that are the problem. It's not a problem. It is the distributors who say that you have to have this film on a certain times of day, which, as I've said before, I don't have a huge issue with. I understand the thinking behind it. But then somebody else points out something which is fairly common. I went to see Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning in a multi-screen cinema on Monday, 4 days after opening, and there were 20 people in the audience. Because it's not popular, but because at least 6 of the 20-plus screens were showing the same film. So you do end up with a film playing to less than full audiences when you could have utilised that screen for a more diverse programme.
My name is Alfred Hitchcock, yeah.
My name is Alfred, yeah. I do think it's wildly excessive to have the same film on every 5 minutes. But my expertise is really only in the independent cinema sector where
the economics are slightly different. Yeah.
The economics are slightly different, yeah. Stories. So I've been trawling the internet again, as is my wont, and I've got some what I'm calling quickfire stories. So we're going to run through these quickfire. So this one was in response to a question about how few... Oh, you might have a good answer to this. When hardly any audience show up, what do performers do? I wasn't implying that whenever you've been in a show, hardly anyone wants to see
it. I'm going to hand you a spade if you want to dig that hole. Any deeper. You're very welcome. No, I've done the Edinburgh Fringe, of course. Of course I've experienced that.
Alistair, you're a fairly...
unsuccessful theatre person.
Unpopular theatre actor. I'm so sorry. That's not what I meant.
This is the truth. What is the question? What do performers do when there's
it was a question about how few people turn up and whether you go on basically.
Well, that's really interesting because sometimes when you got a larger cast, there was a thing. Actors, in my experience, will do anything not to do the job. And one of the rules of thumb was if there's more people on stage than there are in the audience, you just cancel it. But actually, it depends entirely on the show and if you're enjoying yourself. And also if you want to develop and grow the show, these are kind of living things. So my show Two Man Rumble, which is a long time ago now, it ended up going very well, the show. But anyway, at certain points, there were not many audience members. And there was one day where someone came along with a staff pass, so there wasn't even any profit in it at the Fringe for this one representation of the show, and it was like the third day of the run or something like that, and I thought, oh god, no one here. And then this person turned up with their card and their staff pass, and so we said, well, you know, we're happy to do the show because we're enjoying getting to know the show and growing it. So are you happy to just, you know, if we play it just for you? And they went, yeah, of course. And so we said, okay, you can, at any point you can say stop, you can shout out, do it in a Geordie accent, do it in an American accent, and you can shout at any point, you've got the liberty to shout conga, and we'll do a conga as well. And so we did the show. I had it, my mate Michael and myself at the time were just, it was really brilliant. He was just the most wonderful person to work with. We did this and we had to do it backwards, we had to do it super fast, we did a conga, and it was really nice because it really gets you to know the show even better, and it's also about that connection with the audience. So it depends entirely on that moment, but I've never pulled a show when there's not been enough audience, I must admit. But although, you know, that's often the temptation of
That's a better story than the one that I found on you. That's a really nice story. I'm being so down on multiplexes today. But cinemas have, according to stories that I've heard, pulled shows because there's only been sort of 10 people in the audience. That's really weird. I found that really odd. Anyway, this story is, this is a Tory story. I went to the Tory party conference in Perth one year when Maggie called a snap election. The conference ended early so everyone could get back to their constituencies and start campaigning, except for me, too far to go. So I went along to what had been scheduled as the end of conference Kayleigh. It was in a huge hall with empty chairs and tables all around and a band at the far end. There was just me and a table of four, but the band gamely played on, somewhat somberly. So I clapped after each number and the transformation was astounding. They really put themselves into it and played with gusto. Even if there was only one person who was enjoying the audience, that was good enough for them. And Mrs. Thatcher won the election.
Well, that's so a happy story for all.
It's a lovely end to the story.
Just horrible.
Okay, quick fire. So this is not quick fire now. This is just rambling fire. This will totally date me. My friends and I had the whole theatre to ourselves for the secret of my success. We were in high school, giggling, crushing on Michael J. Fox. Suddenly, our row of seats started shaking hard. There was no one else there. So being goofy high school girls, we convinced ourselves that the theatre was haunted. We thoroughly freaked ourselves out, made a ton of noise. Turns out it was an earthquake.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Now, my friend Lorna, who lived in Christchurch at the time, New Zealand, she was at the cinema. So she was on her own in the cinema watching The Fighter when the big one, the Christchurch one, struck. And she was fine. She managed to get out and her home was fine. And thankfully, everything was okay. Once things had calmed down a bit, she went back because she'd missed most of the film. She went back to the cinema to see The Fighter. And an aftershock struck while she was in the cinema watching The Fighter. She went back a third time, another earthquake. So from this point on, Lorna is never allowed to watch
a Christian Bale movie again.
The Fighter. Right, shall we wind down? I think we've talked enough.
Let us do.
So if you would like to get in contact with us, please send your stories or questions to downthebackoftheseats@gmail.com.
Please do send in your stories. It'd be lovely to hear from you and hear what kind of odd and crazy things have happened and where people have left their bits.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening.